We're speaking today about prayer. I have two main points. The first point is this: to ask the question, what is the main obstacle to prayer? There are various ways of answering that question. What is the main obstacle we have to prayer? Most of us might be willing to say quite freely and quite sincerely that we would like to have better quality, perhaps even more quantity of prayer in our day-to-day lives. So what is the obstacle? Why haven't you done it? Well, there are various ways of answering that question. One of the obstacles to prayer is our desire for good works. Why don't we pray right now? Well, we have to do the laundry. Why don't we pray right now? Well, I have to go do the grocery shopping. Why don't we pray right now? Well, there's a screaming child who just fell off his bike. Our desire and our need to do good works is, in a certain way, can be considered to be a main obstacle to our prayer. Well, what kind of good works do we want to do? Well, we want to do all the things that, we occupy our mind with all the things that we think need to be done. We are occupied. What are we worrying about? Well, I don't need to tell you what you're worrying about, but nonetheless, I think maybe a little list of all the things that you're worrying about, or at least some of them, might be useful to recall to mind. What are you worrying about? Well, you're worrying about national politics, you're worrying about state politics, who the president is and who the governor is and all the bad senators, mostly Catholic. You're worrying about the city politics, the county politics, and the school board politics. You're worrying about the national economy and the world economy. You're worrying about the neighborhood politics, the crime rates, ISIS, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, North Korea, and that registered offender who lives two doors down from you. You're worrying about Pope Francis and what he'll say next. You're worrying about the bishops and the cardinals and the Diocese of Richmond and the priests and the parish. And why are they asking me for more money again? You're worrying about good priests, bad priests, lukewarm priests, and the priest shortage. You're worrying about your job, your husband's job, your boss, his boss, your salary, his salary, taxes, property insurance, health insurance, flood insurance, your investments, stock market, 401k, your retirement, how much, when, where, your husband, his health, his drinking, his cholesterol, his spiritual life. You're worrying about your kids, their education, their morals, their music, their computer use, their friends, who's going to pay for their college. You're worrying about your health. Is your husband going to notice that you're sick? You're worrying about your parents, who's going to look after them. You're worrying about your in-laws and when they're going to visit. You're worrying about your friends. You're worrying about the other ladies who like you. You're worrying about the ladies who don't like you. You're worrying about those who dress better, those who have better husbands, those who have better kids, those who have better house, better spiritual life. And finally, what will they all think of me? You know better than I do that this little list is only scratching the surface of all the things that you're worrying about probably every hour of every day. And some of them require your attention. Some of them require your attention right now. Some of them will require your attention every moment of every day, at least if you allow it to. Our desire for good works is an obstacle to our prayer. The little list that I gave you is a way of highlighting the fact that we are all overwhelmed. And it's impossible to be anything other than overwhelmed by all the things of our day-to-day life. Whether we're living in the 21st century, the 20th century, the 18th century, or the 1st century, you know, it used to be that you'd have to, you know, put a 5-gallon bucket on your head and you walk a mile to this town well. And just before anyone could wash their face in the morning, just to get water. Okay, now we have it piped in, hot and cold running water. Wow, life should have been easy. That's a whole half-hour task that just is taken away. And now I have a half-hour to pray in the morning. Right? It used to be that laundry was done on a washboard for hours and hours of back-breaking work. And now I just throw it in the machine, set it, and forget it. Then I have time for prayer. No, not that either. Well, it used to be we had to grow our own vegetables and can them, otherwise we would starve in the winter. I don't have to do any of that. Mr. Kroger takes care of it for me. Now I have time to pray. No, we don't. Somehow, we're supposed to have all the conveniences of our modern life, and yet our life is more full than it ever was. So the lesson is this. If good works is an obstacle to prayer, then we have to pull back from the overwhelming quality of our desire to do good. Why? Because there are always going to be more good things to be done. There's always going to be more. The list is never completed. It never was, it never will be. What is important for us to do is to choose among the list of things to be done priorities. Of all the things to be done, what is that thing which is highest, most necessary, most important? Let's use an analogy of time. Instead of time, let's talk about money. So let's say you get a paycheck, and instead of going to the grocery store and getting a week's worth of groceries, you go to the corner store and you buy whatever amount of lottery tickets the paycheck will supply. And you can say to yourself, well, this is or could be considered to be a good use of my money, because just think of the chance I have of gaining so much from spending the money in this way. You could look in the catechism all day long and you'll never find a condemnation of buying lottery tickets. Therefore, I haven't done anything wrong. Or have I? Well, obviously I've done something wrong, but what is the thing that I've done wrong? It's not immoral to buy a lottery ticket. But it is immoral. It is immoral to switch or to malappropriate our priorities. That is wrong. It is evil. We have no problem assigning the term fool to someone who spends the entire paycheck on lottery tickets. That person is a fool. What have they done? They've only just switched their priorities. That's the only thing they've done. In this case, they did it completely, and it's very wrong. What are good works, anyway? What are good works? Good works are the works of God. God is the only one who's good. If we want to do something good, we're just doing the work of God. Do we think we can do the work of God without having God? Do we think that we can be a source of good apart from God? If we think that, we are wrong. The first and most important good work that we must do is the work for ourselves. That is your first duty. Not your husband, not your kids, not your in-laws, not your neighbor, not your priest, not anyone else. You, yourself, are your first and highest priority. that without which nothing else will happen. That first priority of you doing good for yourself means that you have to fulfill your duty to yourself. And your first duty is to take care of your first priority. And what is your first priority? Your first priority to yourself is developing your relationship with God. Doing what you have a duty to do for and to your Maker and Redeemer. That is what the interior life is. We develop our interior life, of course, by prayer. Prayer, therefore, the necessary thing to develop our relationship with God, which is our first priority to ourselves, that has to be the first good work of all good works. I cannot do other good works because those good works are the works of God, and I cannot give what I do not first possess. Prayer, therefore, is our highest duty. Prayer is the first and highest work of charity because it's charity to ourselves. Prayer is the highest justice because it's giving God what is His due. So, yes, the load of laundry needs to be done. Another load of laundry needs to be done. But sometimes the answer is, it should remain undone for the sake of a time of prayer. It is evil to switch our priorities from where they should be. Developing our interior life is the most important thing that we have to do. It is the highest duty, the first charity, the highest justice. But developing our interior life takes time. And when I spend time doing the interior life, that means I really can't spend the time doing something else. And developing the interior life is something that is a personal thing. It's between my relationship with God. Therefore, in some way, I'm the focus, or at least it appears as if I'm the focus. Really, it's God that's the focus, but from the outside, it might appear to be, and someone could accuse us of being self-focused. Okay, well, a relationship takes two. It takes two to tango, so yes, in some way, I am the focus of that. So, am I being selfish? Well, if I put the highest priority exactly where it should be, the answer is obviously no. When I refuse to do the load of laundry for the sake of a time of prayer, I might easily be accused and feel guilty about being selfish. There's an answer to that, and we've supplied a bit of an answer, but consider this example. Was the interior life of Mary and Joseph selfish and sterile? Consider what Mary and Joseph had done in their life. Jesus lived in Nazareth for, approximately 30 years. In that whole time, Joseph, his death is not recorded, but there's a strong tradition that he died a short time before our Lord began his public ministry. Never is St. Joseph recorded as speaking the word. There's no word that St. Joseph said that is recorded. He was silent. Joseph is not recorded as doing any good works at all. He didn't preach to anyone. He didn't convert anyone. But we see him taking care of the Holy Family in the few little snippets that we have of those years. He brought the family down to Bethlehem when he had to. He brought the family down to Egypt when he had to. He brought them back to Nazareth when he had to. He brought them to Jerusalem when he had to for the sake of the feasts. And we are told that Jesus was subject to him. But other than what he was doing within the Holy Family, he is not recorded as doing any good work. Nothing. Zero. And what about the Blessed Virgin Mary? It really is much the same. She is recorded as having a relationship with God, and she has an appearance of the angel Gabriel and things like that, but she doesn't preach any sermons, she doesn't convert anyone, she doesn't, you know, she's there with Jesus, and then she's there with the apostles, and then her earthly life comes to a conclusion, and she goes into heaven. What good works did she do? Their role of Mary and Joseph was not about doing good. They're not recorded as writing complaining letters to King Herod or Pontius Pilate. They didn't protest outside their doors. There's lots of things that they could have done that they're not recorded as having done. Why? Because they had a different role. They are credited with Mary and Joseph are credited with not one external work. The mere influence upon the world of an intense inner life, the merits of prayers and sacrifices applied for the spread of the benefits of the redemption were enough to make Mary Queen of the Apostles and Joseph the patron of the Universal Church. The patron of the Universal Church did not do one exterior good work. And the Queen of Heaven and Earth did not do one exterior good work. That highlights for us the importance of the interior life. The interior life. Good done to the Church Universal can be done from the privacy of your own room. Not only today, but for the end of time, until the end of time. St. Alphonse Liguori says, "I love Jesus Christ, and that is why I am on fire with the desire to give him souls. First of all, my own. And then an incalculable number of others. How is that to be done? It has to be done, first of all, by giving him our own soul. Otherwise, nothing else is possible." Consider, you know, our own lives are busy and your own life is very busy. And as I say, all of us can easily be overwhelmed. It is impossible, really, that we're not overwhelmed with all the physical things that we need to take care of. Consider a bishop. If anyone wants to be a bishop, they deserve to get the bishopric because they're silly not to know that it's the worst job in the world. Bishops have multi-million dollar annual budgets. They are personally in charge of hundreds of pieces of property. They have hundreds of employees. They have, by way of the priests, and they have perhaps hundreds of thousands of faithful whose eternal salvation they are personally responsible for. Talk about overwhelming. If anyone in this world could be overwhelmed, at the top of the list are diocesan bishops. But is there anyone in the world for whom an interior life is more necessary? Well, we don't want to say that our interior life is less necessary than a bishop, but certainly the interior life of a bishop is so important. Everything he does is affected by it, either positively or negatively. Listen to this bishop who comments. He wrote some things as a result of a retreat that he went on, and he wrote this. This is the Bishop of Orléans, Bishop Dupin-Loup. My activities are so crushing, he said, my activities are so crushing that they ruin my health, disturb my piety, and yet teach me nothing new. I have got to control them, he said. God has given me the grace to recognize that. The big obstacle to my acquiring a peaceful and fruitful interior life is my natural activity and my tendency to be carried away by my work. The biggest obstacle is my natural activity and my tendency to be carried away by my work. And I have recognized, besides, that this lack of interior life is the source of all of my faults, all of my troubles, my dryness, my fits of disgust, and, on top of that, my bad health. A lack of interior life is the cause of all of my faults, all of my troubles, my dryness, my fits of disgust, and my bad health. Therefore, he says, I have therefore resolved to direct all my efforts to acquiring this interior life, which I so badly need. And I have, with God's grace, drawn up the following points with that end in view. And he goes on to say, okay, let me just read the first one. I will always take more time than is necessary to do everything, in this way to avoid being in a hurry and getting excited. That's just his first point. I will take more time than is necessary to do anything. Why? Well, because there's always more to do. Of all the whole list of things to do, there's always going to be more. So he said, forget about it. I'll choose what the most important thing is, and then I'll take my time doing it. But first of all, after putting my effort into acquiring the interior life. The interior life is absolutely necessary. It is our highest duty. It is our first charity. It is the highest justice.